When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, today on CarCast, we're going to talk about upcoming Jeep Wagoneer, Wrangler 4XE plug-in prototype, Porsche Panamera, some updates on Porsche Panamera, all kinds of fun stuff, and some tires. We're going to get into tires, drag radial versus street radial, all kinds of wacky stuff that you would expect over here. But before we get started, a word from our friends at Oracle. America's ready to go back to work, but to win in the new economy, you need every advantage to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle. It's the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility, control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. It's all in one place. It's very easy to do. Whether you're doing hundreds of millions in sales or just a couple of pennies, either way, it doesn't make a difference. Give your company the agility to compete with anyone and work from anywhere, even on your phone. You can join the 20,000 plus companies who trust NetSuite every day. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide. It's called 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now. And you can schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/carcast. So you get your free guide and schedule a free product tour right now, netsuite.com/carcast. That's netsuite.com/carcast. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Motorator DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg. What's up, Goldberg?
Well, you know, I'm waiting for a phone call. I think I'm finally going to get some good news on the garage, dude.
Oh, the garage.
I'm a little giddy now, so I think we're maybe, I don't know, I don't want to jinx it, but permits, we might even get permits today, so.
How's ranch life treating you?
Oh God! You kidding me? I'm running on fumes, man. I can't. I'm losing the battle with armadillos.
Going after armadillos.
I tell you what, man. You know, I used to be a spokesperson for the Humane Society of the United States, and now if they could just see me at 2 o'clock in the morning with a headlamp on and a .22 in my hand, trying to shoot an armadillo that's been destroying our yard, but. It's so ridiculous how much money I've put towards this, how much sleep I've lost over it, and how angry I've gotten at a thing that's like an oyster on a half, you know, he's a opossum on a half shell.
Yeah.
And man, it's just,
so it's you haven't been able to find the one that's wreaking havoc.
What do you mean one? I've taken out like 6 of his relatives. I mean, what do they continue to multiply?
I don't know.
I don't understand. If anybody out there knows how to rectify, you know, this kind of situation where you go armadillos night after night, not one night have they taken off. Not one night. The reason why I wear sunglasses is because I can't even see out of these eyes. I get no sleep. 4 o'clock in the morning the other night, you saw on Instagram. I had to take care of a porcupine that you know, nailed 2 of our dogs. So it's just,
yeah,
it's a wonderful thing. If all I have to deal with as a negative by moving out here to Texas is, you know, these armadillos, then, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
My therapy is doing the yard, you know, and every morning I wake up and I drink my coffee and like to look over the yard and see how beautiful it is. And it looks like somebody aerates it every single day.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's miserable. People have real problems. Let's move on, please.
Look, I'm just, I saw the post of your poor dogs. They got porcupined. They got all the little things in their nose. And the photo was kind of funny because you just sit him and you just see he's kind of sad face with the little thing sticking out of his nose. And we're like, well,
you see the drool?
Yeah. It's just, hey,
that's because he had one in his tongue and he couldn't swallow. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was,
because I imagine the dog's trying to like lick his nose or trying to do, but it hurts, or I don't know. It just frustrates. I'm sure the dog's like, what the hell? Where did you bring me? Why are we here? It's hot as hell. I'm getting attacked.
Just the look on his face. I mean, you saw it.
Yeah.
It was like, help, or I don't know. What was that? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, if anybody knows anything about armadillos, hit up Goldberg on social media. Get some armadillo training going on. All right, before we get started, a word from our friends at Dodge. It's time for Dodge Power Dollars. That means for each horsepower, you get $10 off your purchase of a Dodge Charger, Challenger, and Durango. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars today for a pretty sweet deal. All right, so we are digging into some car news today, and of course, the timing doesn't always work out as far as when we're able to record these shows. So we're in the studio today, and I think tomorrow is going to be some of the Jeep announcements. So look for that on Jeep's social media. Grand Wagoneer, we teased this last week. The Grand Wagoneer is going to be their large luxury SUV, and it'll compete with Cadillac Escalade, Jeep, Lincoln Navigator, and it's going to be nice. You know, it hasn't been around for a while. The Wagoneer name is still good. I think it'll be interesting to see that. They've only teased a little bit, but from what I understand, it's meant to be, you know, competitive with those American luxury vehicles. You know, I don't know.
How much are they paying homage to the old version?
You know, I think they are a little bit. Of course, with the name, I think you're going to see something with the grill. I don't know what the styling is going to look like. The only teasers they've shown was just like a piece of the interior, you know, like an AC duct or something. And then
you can't really discern.
You can't really do that. And then, and just a big panoramic glass roof they're going to have in the top. There's just sort of a, you know, full-length glass roof option. I'm sure they're going to have.
It's the less is more advertisement that gets people wondering, you know, and is it enough to get people excited about it? I'm looking forward to it.
I definitely love to see what it is. Like over here, we've been doing quite a few road trips, you know, Monterey, the racetrack and stuff. And we've been saying for a while now, hey, you know, grabbing the big SUV is the great road trip vehicle, right? Because you could, if you get the three row, we went up in Adam's Infiniti, his QX80, which is a big three row SUV. We did the Lincoln Navigator for a couple years in a row.
You did the Rolls.
Yeah, we did the big Rolls Royce Ghost and the Cullinan. And, you know, the thing about the big three row is, you know, you load up, you know, your coolers, you know, either Chris comes with us or Sonny comes with us or both. You fold down the third row seat. You load up all your gear. You hit the road. Then you get to your hotel or your Airbnb, like we do. We unload all the gear, and then we flip up the third row seats. And when we go to the track, our guys that have towed the race car up there and stuff, instead of driving the dually around the whole time, you know, if you want to go to dinner, you're like, hey, just crawl into the back, and then everybody goes. Yeah. So I'm very curious in a Wagoneer, you know, for that reason. Like, I understand the appeal of the big three row SUV. It definitely works. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not every day. In L.A., maybe it's a little big for an everyday vehicle, but I definitely understand, you know, I get the function of it. I get the point of it, and we do like them for that reason. And now they're so good. Like, they're all they just cruise good. Super comfortable. The amenities are there. You can get heated and cooled seats, massaging seats, great sound systems, especially the Lincoln, fantastic sound system, speakers in the ceiling, just everywhere up in the headliner. So the Wagoneer sort of being new and coming into this game a little bit late as far as modern day cars, they have some catching up to do, but they have the advantage of knowing what's out there and what people are liking. So So it should be.
So immediately, who do you think their biggest competition is?
Lincoln and Escalade, hands down. I don't think they're going to compete as much with, you know, Infiniti or BMW or Mercedes.
The price point's going to tell us all that.
Yeah, you know? I think they're just going head on after the two other American brands, and that's the other thing is you know, as everybody seems to have some brand loyalty, but there's that other level of, hey, I want, you know, I like maybe Ford or Dodge or whatever, or Lincoln or Jeep, or, you know, but also people go, but I do want American. So I may jump brands, but some people may just want American made, right? So that's another level of brand loyalty, right? There's country, you know, and then there's brand. So, anyway, so that's going to be coming out, I think, Thursday. And then also Jeep Wrangler XE. Now, Jeep Wrangler we're very familiar with, but the XE is the plug-in hybrid version of it. So I'll be interested to know, you know, what does electric motors do as far as torque? Will it have a little bit of a electric-only range? Is that range going to be 17 miles or is it going to be 30 miles? You know, I'm just kind of curious on how it's going to work. You know, again, hybrid, plug-in electric hybrid means, you know, we could arguably charge it by just driving it, or you could just bring it home, you plug it in at night, and whatever, you get 30 miles of range or something along the lines of that. But the marketing appeal for this is different than other plug-in hybrids, right? Because you can go into like a quiet mode when you're off-roading, or, you know, or you're leaving a campsite at night and you don't want to disturb other people that are in tents and not behind walls, right? Like, there's a little bit of a thing. Like, there's a, you know, that, you know, the quiet mode essentially that you have. Now, who knows? We're going to see what they're going to do with it, but I
can use it every night driving by, you know, the
for
other
armadillo
house
hunting.
Exactly.
Stealth armadillo hunting.
Yeah. It all comes full circle.
Oh, so last week you were talking about the TRX, getting the order in for the TRX, and I threw out the idea of compound boost.
Yeah, and we have to revisit that.
Yeah.
Okay, you're first.
I was going to say, but we kind of ended the show with you firing out a text, I think maybe to Gearhead, going, what do you guys think?
And his response, you want to know his response was? Ooh.
Like
not O-W.
Oh,
E-E-W. It's E-E-W. Yeah.
All right, so he's out.
He knew exactly that it wasn't a positive response. And so at the end of the day, at current relationship and level of involvement,
uh-huh,
he doesn't believe it's a more efficient way. And he has proven it's not the more efficient way to go about it. That's
okay.
That's basically he would. Yeah, there's a lot more to it, but I should have had this conversation with you before, and you bring it up on air because we haven't revisited it. But because he had a number of questions at the same time, so this is a tennis match, and the ball is back over the net to you right now.
Right. Okay. I get it. Look, it's not. It's not the end all be all greatest solution. It is just another option,
and it's another option.
And,
yeah,
and this is what you got to do. You kind of work through the pros and cons to see if it would make the most sense. There are some cars and trucks, modified and even factory, that use compound boost and very successfully, and some don't. We were talking about the SUVs and some of the Volvos we've driven are twin charged or supercharged and turbocharged. They do that at the OE level quite successfully, right? And then, yes, we have seen our friend Gail Banks has been building a high horsepower like racing motor using very, very pumped up, for lack of a better term, compound boost scenario on their motor, but I think he's doing it on a diesel engine. I think he's doing turbo and supercharged diesel racing engine. And
isn't there someone around you? Does the name Vicious Stang?
Yes.
Are they doing that on a Coyote motor?
I think they are doing compound boost on that. I've seen the car. Our good friends at Magnaflow have a lot to do with that car. They did the exhaust on it. It's the crazy, like, silver, 67. like a satin silver with just an red all interior. Red interior. I was at an event and the car showed up, and it's a beast. It's a beast of a car. Now, I don't believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe the current owner of the car is not the gentleman who commissioned to have the car. I think he purchased it, maybe tuned and did a little few modifications on his own, but has been enjoying the car. I will tell you, that guy takes that car out a lot. I see that car at shows and events and stuff all the time. So somebody's having some fun with it. But you're right. I believe that's a compound boosted car. And, you know, the guys at Helion out of New Mexico are doing compound boost and not.
Yeah, like you said, it's another option. I mean, you know, Gearhead, Mario just said that he kind of has proved that it's not the most efficient way in what and how he's pumping out horsepower right now. But that doesn't mean that, you know, next week they don't come up with a system that's more efficient and, you know, is you know, a better option. So,
yeah,
I had never heard of it before. And I thought it was really cool. Slam on the brakes.
I'm with you on it in that it's not done a lot. And it is kind of it's appealing to try something new, but you're right. So what's going on is the Gearheads guys are going, yes, we've done it a few times, but they haven't done it 40 times, which means sizing the turbos and getting the tune right and the fuel delivery. That's a lot of trial and error.
A lot of work. Yeah.
Right. And the reason why you go to those guys to get your turbo cars done is because it seems like every week they're pumping out another turbo car or tuning or doing something. So
yeah, by the way, lately I feel kind of measly with my little 1400 horsepower, you know, charger when they're pumping out two in the last week over 1500.
Yeah. Something's wrong over there.
I know, man. I don't know.
All right. So, I just wanted to get your thoughts on compound boost and to see what those guys thought about it.
I still think it's appealing. It's a cool.
It's a cool idea.
It just makes me laugh. It's a giggle, right? So I mean, I'd love to have a car where at the end of the day we were able to find an efficient way to pull it off. I think it'd be outlandish.
Because you'll hear those turbos and then you'll hear that supercharger whine and it'll be a little confusing and you're like, I hear something. I thought I heard turbo or I thought I heard supercharger. You're like, yes.
But it's a happy sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I heard turbo and I thought I heard supercharger. Yes.
Yes. Yes. You did. Yeah. And hopefully it's an armadillo deterrent, the sound. Guys, I want to tell you about this this new podcast that our friends are doing. It's called Bring Back Bronco. It's a new podcast that uncovers the rise, fall, and rebirth of the Ford Bronco. It's Bring Back Bronco. It's the untold story. It's an 8-part series that dives into Bronco's 50-year odyssey from the post-war boom to the OJ chase and this year's rebirth of the vehicle. Host Sonari Glinton. He basically goes on a road trip of a lifetime to find out why Ford killed the Bronco and then how it sort of led to where we are now. I got a sneak peek of it. It's pretty good. Actually, if you want a sneak peek of it, well, stay tuned to the end of this episode and we'll play, I don't know, like an extended clip or something for you that that Chris was able to put together for you.
Yeah,
we got
a nice trailer of the podcast.
Okay. You guys will want to check that out. And everything that we've seen with the Bronco is fantastic and all the options and everybody's ordering them. They're selling out. By the way, I think the numbers came in at something like 150,000 pre-orders. Like people at least got on the list. You know, some people will get off and some people will get added, but that's an outrageous number, right? That's a very successful, you know, launch if they fulfill all of those orders and everybody follows through. So search for Bring Back Bronco anywhere you listen to podcasts. We'll include a link in the show notes as well when you go to carcastshow.com. And thanks to Bring Back Bronco for their support. You guys want to check that out.
So what's the latest on the release date of that vehicle?
That's a good question. I'm getting the all the launch dates confused with all the vehicles that are coming out, because I think we got TRX like October.
How could you not?
And then I think Bronco beginning of next year. And then I've just been reading about some other stuff too, that you know, this is delayed and this is going on and whatever. So we'll have to get back on that, because I don't have the latest news. As we touched on Ford Mach-E.
Where is the audio?
Yeah, where's the audio clip of
Chris?
Of Alistair? Chris is not paying attention. He's working on notes for the next show.
Damn.
The Mach-E.
There it is.
There you go. I don't care about the Armadillo thing. I just want to hear that two or three times. I'm good.
Yeah, the launch edition, they had a few partners, uncrate.com and a few others, where you guys can order more of the launch edition ones. The other thing I was going to say was, news just came in this morning as we're recording this, that LA Auto Show is postponed. I believe it's going to be March of next year. Let me double check. I don't think it's May. I'm pretty sure it's March that they're pushing it. So, but my question is, does that mean there's going to be two auto shows for next year? May?
Yeah,
it's in May?
It's going to be in May.
Okay, so does that mean this year's show is in May of next year, and then in November, whatever, 6 months later, is there another auto show? And then also, why are we still doing auto shows? Because every time we come in, we talk about how the auto shows are shrinking a little bit, like, and everybody's launching cars at other events, Goodwood and Monterey and just specialty events. And now in this sort of this pandemic time, everyone's launching stuff virtually. So, I mean, what's going to happen to the auto show? I mean, I like going to LA Auto Show and running through there on the press days and seeing sort of everything new all at once. So I get it, but is it the best way to launch a vehicle? I'm not exactly sure, but I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see, because LA Auto Show does have three press days, and then they're open to the public for a week. And I guess that's the real advantage, is to have everybody able – everybody out here be able to go over there and just kind of see what's new. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. So as far as
you've been to any local car shows lately?
You know, they're just starting to pop up, but here in LA, because LA is like the most locked down city on the planet.
And, but the surrounding
yeah, county. So I haven't been down to Orange County, but I'm seeing more and more of that happening. And I did hear that somehow the Peterson was going to be, maybe it's this coming weekend, that they're going to have a show available on site again, like one of their outdoor parking lot, like meet and greets kind of thing.
Maybe are those shows cars. Well attended?
They have been in the past. I will say that the photos of everything that I'm seeing coming out of like Orange County and even like the Cars and Coffee in Malibu, they're packed.
Yeah, see, yeah. That's what I'm saying. So,
yeah, cars,
look at the other end of the spectrum with the car shows.
Yeah.
Right? They've been taken away from us for how long? And once they open up again, you'd think that there's not going to be a mad rush of people just to be able to throw their mask up in the air and walk in the door, you know?
Yeah, or even with a mask. People just want to go out and do stuff.
People just want to – they want to be able to do stuff they haven't been able to do, whatever it is.
Yeah, so – I don't know. I'd be down for any of these events. I'd go to LA Auto Show. I wear a mask, whatever the rules are.
Yeah.
You know, I just go and do it. I want to go see the cars.
Just to be able to go and congregate, you know?
Yeah, and I guess they opened up the beaches out here, or people don't care if they did or not, because the beaches are packed. We had this heat wave, and it's just, as far as the eye can see, there's just people everywhere. I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's whatever is going to happen, it's going to happen, but anyway, that's not what this show is about. This show is about other shit. car shit.
Well, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. By the way, I got my tires. I got my tires mounted for the Charger, and hopefully we'll get some 60 foot 100-foot times here soon, and some video, and hopefully the next chapter of it will be moving on.
Give me your thoughts. I was kicking around this idea for the Lightning. Give me your thoughts on, don't worry about sponsorship or no sponsorship. You've run around on drag radials on some of your cars. What's your thought on drag radials? And there's usually three things that come to mind: traction, noise, and comfort.
Noise has not been an issue, period. Okay. End of story. You can take that one out of it. Comfort, it depends upon the choice of the tire, and it depends upon the road you're going to be driving on. Then you take rain into consideration. Mm-hmm. It's just all of, I mean, you live in California, hell, it doesn't rain. So you never have to take that into consideration. But if you do get, I mean, you were talking about the Challengers tracking, right?
Yeah.
With the man, there's some super tracking going on, you know, like the old eight tracks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're all over the place depending upon, you know, the drag radial you choose. Now, fortunately, there's so many different ones out there now.
Yeah.
You can get an aggressive drag radial and you can get a less aggressive. And, you know, the NT555 G2, the Nitto tire, is one of the best all-round tires because it's a softer tire. It's not a traditional drag radial, but it's kind of a hybrid.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I throw that on all my cars. Now, if I'm going to go out and if I'm going to do a lot of hard cornering and it's the weather's not going to be an issue and they're going to be great roads, then, man, you know, the NT01s, I'd love those. The NT05s, it's a compromise.
Yeah.
So it just completely depends upon what you're going to, what function you're asking your truck to do. And what, it's not a, you're, the only sacrifice, take rain out, the only sacrifice is tracking because sound doesn't play into it. And you get, you know, damn good traction with most of them anyway.
Do you,
across the board,
do you notice a traction difference between the drag radial and the street, like the 555 G2s versus the 555? Well, there's a new 555 G2R.
But you can't expect there not to be. Look at the construction of the tire.
Right.
You know, I mean, they have a lot of in-betweens so that you get the best of both worlds. That's what I'm appreciative of. But if you're going to go out and track, then yeah, I mean, they've got that too. But, and this isn't a Nitto commercial, but you know, that's obviously the tire that I ride. But I mean, I've had the Mickey Thompson ET drags or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. I still run a couple cars on that and I love those tires, but that's, you know, a different, they're good all round, but they melt way too quickly. You know,
yeah.
So it's all completely dependent upon what you're asking it to do.
You know, I was, because Nitto has, I just, you know, again, I was just on Nitto's site. Reason why is because my Lightning, when we took it to SEMA, we had the wheels made and got the stance right. And I ordered up a set of Nitto 555 G2s. It was the new tire. Mm-hmm. I looked at the, I think it's the NT05, whatever the street tire is. And I went with
the NT05 is the one that came on that comes on the Hellcats,
yeah,
or the Demons.
Okay, so I went with the 555 G2s. Couple reasons: one, it seemed like a more comfortable street tire, and we were down to the wire. I needed to order this. The guys at Jegs got me a set of tires in the mail quickly, and the way I have it set up is I have a 295/45/18 on all four corners, and that's good. It works fine for certainly under the current, you know, stock engine with the low boost supercharger and very tired engine. But when we do the engine swap, I was looking at, there's a new drag radial. They had the 555 R's, and now there's a like an R2. There's a 555R2. And if you have the NT05s on your car, they make a drag radial that matches the front. Since we have the 555 G2s, right, I can keep the 555 G2s in the front, put the 555 R2s in the back, mm-hmm. it looks basically the same, but it's the drag radial in the back. So yes. As far as my braking performance, I still have a street tire in the front, and most of my mm-hmm. braking is all in the front, especially in a pickup truck. So I'm just worried about traction in the back. Now, the one thing, there was a little bit of planning ahead, is when I had the wheels made, when Brad at Bondspeed made me the wheels, and we made them directional and stuff, I did want a little bit of extra lip in the back, so I staggered them 9-inch wide in the front, 10-inch wide in the back. And right, there's enough room on that truck without a mini tub that I think I can go, because of the 10-inch wide, I can go to from the 295 45 to the 305 45.
And so, it's an 18, you said?
Yeah, it's an 18. Yeah. And they do have that available. That. Yeah. Yep. So I would be going from the 295 to a 305 and going from the street compound to the R compound. And, you know, look.
I think it's a great choice.
The horsepower levels that we're talking about is going to blow these tires apart anyway. But it's nice to know, like, sort of that, I don't know, that 40 to 80 mile an hour sprint. I want to see if these things will hook up. And you're right. Like, hey, if we're going to go to Willow Springs or something with it or do some autocross, I'm not going to run the drag radials, you know. But I was just kind of thinking in my head, I think I could probably fit the 305, 45, 18, the new R2s on.
That's
there.
A great setup. What I usually do is I put the NT 555 G2s in the front of my Challengers.
Yeah.
And I put the NT05s in the back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
unless it's raining a lot, and then there's no way you're ever going to hook up in that car.
Right.
And also, like you said, no matter what the horsepower, you know, is at a certain range, you're going to break the tires loose anyway, you know, even if you heat them up. So it's all about a manageable, you know, area that you have fun and you get traction at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's kind of where, I was looking into that the other day. I don't know why. I was just, it was on my mind. I was thinking about, hey, you know, this thing's going to need a little bit more traction. I was thinking about a way to make that happen, but
there you go.
All right. So more car news, but first, our friends at Geico, right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. And that's 15% on the top of money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? You should go in and do this. That's a pretty good deal. And there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. If you'll save an extra 15% if you switch by October 7th. Just go to geico.com to learn more. That's geico.com. Porsche 928. I always liked the 928. Not a very good car.
Like an egg.
It kind of looked like an egg. But I just kind of like... It was a very expensive car when it came out. I want to say it was probably one of the most expensive, you know, arguably supercars when it came out. You know, and it's got an interesting styling to it. And I was always more of a sucker for the long-nosed GT-style cars. I like a front-engine, front-mid, Aston Martin. I like the front-engine Ferraris and the 928. And then when the Panamera came out, I, like a lot of people, thought... All right, well, we've got a cool-looking kind of front-engine, oddly shaped, stretched four-door. Why wouldn't we make this into a two-door and make it like a 928 comeback? And here we are years and years later. It's never really happened with Porsche. And I think it's because they obviously have their two-door sports cars. They have the 911 and now the, you know, Caymans and Boxsters and, you know, convertibles and little coupes and all that stuff. So do they need another coupe? I don't know. And the Panamera as a four-door has sold extremely well for them. And the new Panamera, the current Panamera, got a little bit of a facelift. It's got a little bit of engine option swaps that's going on with it now. I think there's a 4S hybrid available. So just a little... updates on the Panamera, but in an interview recently, someone was talking to the guys at Porsche, and they said, hey, we haven't really ruled out the idea of a two-door Panamera. I don't know if they would call it a 928. That's certainly what everybody would hope. I don't think – when was the last 928? 1995? So it's been a minute since you know, since we've had a 928. And I think a Panamera, look, if you did a Panamera two-door, right, it would have to be like a proper 2+2. I mean, having two seats in it wouldn't make sense. You need the back seat, and you need like a reasonable back seat, something more useful than a 911 back seat, right? But
I would hope so.
This sort of brings into question, like, Mercedes S-Class Coupe, gorgeous car, big. I like a big two-door. I like the 8 Series. I like the S Series. Mm-hmm. I like the Mercedes CLs, the old CLs. Those were badass. Oh, yeah. The S-Class Coupe, Mercedes still makes it. Not a big seller for them. BMW came out with their new 8 Series, and it's kind of cool looking, and they have an M8, but they did the 8 Series Grand Coupe, which is the four-door version, but you still sit low. It's got a coupe profile. Again, we've argued over should it be a coupe or a sedan and blah, blah, blah. Why not call it the, you know, something else? Why coupe? You know, and the 8 Series four-door outsells the two-door by a wild margin. It's not 2-1. I don't know. It's 3 or 4-1. Everyone's buying the four-door. They want kind of the coupe styling with it. So, you know, as a matter of fact, the four-door outsells the two-door 8 Series so much that BMW is skipping the 2021 model year for the 8 Series coupe. They're just going to sell whatever's on the lots as a 20, and then they'll do a 22. But they're just basically to sell off any inventory that they have. They're not even going to have an official 21 model year for it. They're not ending the car. They're just moving inventory. So does it make sense for Porsche to do a Panamera?
Reemergence of the ugly duckling?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's going to not look like a 928. If you like the Panamera, it's going to be a two-door version of the Panamera. If you don't like the Panamera, then let's move on to the next story.
Yeah, I'm real curious to see the artist's rendering of this vehicle.
I'm sure there's renderings. Look, when Panamera first came out, there was renderings of a two-door, and it looked kind of good because now you got sort of a shooting brake, kind of hatchback-y thing going on. The first Panamera had that real kind of bubble butt thing going on, and now it's toned down a little bit. But then they did the sport version, which is the actual hatchback, which is – so now they made the Panamera sedan have more of a sedan profile, but then they said – but that just makes it available that we can do the hatchback-y version of it, which I first saw in Monterey, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Looks, you know, it's kind of a wagon, but I get it. It's a badass wagon. All right. So speaking of coupes and two-door shooting brake hatchbacks, whatever you want to call them, Ferrari is ending the GTC for Lusso. So they started this with the FF. They said, hey, we like our 2+2 cars, right? 4.56, 6.12 Scaglietti. They like the 2+2 cars, not big sellers for them, but there was a little bit of a niche market for it. And they said, how do we sort of freshen it up and make it different? So the FF came out with front engine V12 all-wheel drive. And I drove one, and it was fantastic, and you really start to get the appeal of it. And I was in one that had the full glass roof, like panoramic roof. I don't know if it opened or not, but it really just sort of brightened up the whole interior with their diamond stitch. You know, it was black with the like contrast stitching and white. It was fantastic. And I got in, and I was like, wow, this is nice. I can see why people kind of like this. There's always the thing where people go, this is the driver's Ferrari, which is sort of code for the one that doesn't sell well. You know?
Or perform well.
Yeah, right. And it was good. So that the FF got replaced by a GTC for Lusso. The Lusso name is way better than the FF name. I don't need all this other shit in front of it, the GTC 4 part of it, but like we could just call it a Lusso. Like, I get it's a 4. It's all-wheel drive. It's, I think, all-wheel steering. I don't know. It's got all kinds of stuff. But now there's the Roma, which is the cool-looking front-engine sort of entry-level Ferrari that is a 2+2 car. And I haven't seen it yet in person, but I did get a message from our buddy Ken Lingenfelter. He was invited to his local Ferrari dealer, like your brother, as he's on the list, and he fell in love with it and walked out with an order. So, I don't know if your brother's getting one as well, but he's not. No, he's not a fan of that one.
No, I mean, he just had another kid, man. His
well, this his is a 2+2.
Yeah.
You got a little back seat.
It's not why he buys those cars, but he could segue.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's going to get swayed into it. So if the Roma is going to be sort of the sportier version of the 2+2, do we need the Lusso? And the answer is no. But also, this makes way for the upcoming Ferrari SUV, which the spy photos kind of just look like a Lusso with a lift kit anyway. So, I wonder how much crossover, probably the all-wheel drive system and the V12 and the – I think there's a Lusso T, which is a turbo 8 instead of a 12. So you can get a Lusso with the 12 naturally aspirated or the turbo 8. A little like what they were doing on the California, but
yeah,
but not the 12, right? So when they did the T on the California,
I'm excited
which is what
to
now,
see
Portofino.
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what a few years ago I would have agreed with people and said, I don't know that we need a Ferrari SUV. Nobody really needs a Ferrari SUV.
But, Lamborghini screwed that one up.
But I tell you, the success these car companies are having with SUVs, Porsche increased their sales dramatically. Lamborghini is selling the Urus. And, you know, like somebody, I just scrolling through my feed and someone's like, there's a Lamborghini SUV. Why the hell do we need this? And I don't reply, but my reply would have been, you should drive it because it's fantastic. Yeah. It's a fantastic SUV. It is so much fun to drive. Aston Martin's got their DBX that's coming out. And so far, the reviews and stuff on it are fantastic. Did we need an Aston Martin SUV? No. Did Aston Martin need an SUV? Probably. As far as sales are going to be concerned, if they can really increase their sales, if they can move a few thousand units, maybe even double, their entire sales with an SUV, then yes,
that'd
they
be
absolutely
useful.
Yeah. And look, Ferrari's a public company now. Sales are down a little bit. Pandemic's taken their toll on every car company for the most part. Can they bounce back with an SUV? Yes. And I think them waiting long enough for everybody else to get into that market answers the question of, will it hurt the value of their sports cars? No, it's not going to hurt the value of the sports cars. You want a 488, get a 488. It's going to be fine.
Exactly.
Right? There's such a demand for those cars. There's such a collectability. There's such a certain audience for it. That you're going to be fine. You want a Ferrari SUV? Go get one. I can't wait to drive one. If they'll send me one, I would drive one because I expect good things for it. And now, again, like we were talking with the Wagoneer coming in late to the game, they know who their competition is. With Ferrari coming late to the game, they know what Lamborghini's doing. They know what Maserati Trofeo is doing because they helped build that goddamn thing, right? So they know what all the super SUVs are doing. And arguably, they know what a Trackhawk is doing. I don't think it's the same audience, but there is a performance benchmark to be made there. So anyway, we'll see how that goes.
The question is not why, or the question is why not?
Why not? Look, I don't know. Like the GT4, the GTC4 Lusso. I don't know. I think Ken Lingenfelter has an FF. And he often speaks about that's his winter car because it's all-wheel drive and it's fast as hell, makes all the right sounds. If you went to him and said, I can get you that car, but just a little bit more ground clearance, he's going to be like, sure, I'll take that. I think he keeps selling vehicles to him. Poor Ken. Good thing he's rich.
Poor Ken.
Poor Ken.
Poor Ken.
My heart flies
for Ken. That sentence has never been uttered.
He's the nicest guy ever. He's so good.
Absolutely.
We got to get him back in here. I love that guy. All right, so another word from our friends at Dodge. Summertime is the best time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle because Dodge Power Dollars means you get a guaranteed discount. And the math is simple. You get $10 off based on the total horsepower of your new Dodge vehicle. And that applies to every Challenger, Durango, Charger, every 2020 model that's out there. So you get the most out of your horsepower this summer. The way it works, as we said, is $10 off for each horsepower. So you can go to the dealer. You can jump in a Dodge Charger SRT Scat Pack with 485 horsepower. You'll get $4,850 off. And this summer, Dodge Power Dollars is back on the Dodge Durango as well. So no matter where the summer takes you, the Dodge Durango is here to make every trip this season a breeze. So you get more power, you get more off. It's that simple. Hurry into your local Dodge dealer now to take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars.
And that's $7,200 off your new 20. Oh, no, it's not. TRX.
Yeah. I don't know if it applies to TRX. I didn't see that on my list.
Exactly.
I didn't see the discount on the new TRX.
Yeah, I didn't see
it. We can make some calls if you want.
Dyson and I, neither one of us saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk to him. I think he's getting his order in. He's a Wyoming boy now. He's moving to Wyoming.
Yes,
sir. He just bought land. He's building an empire out there. He's working with architects, and he's just buying boots and cowboy hats and just going right all in.
On
he's such
awesome.
A good dude. Yeah,
that's
such
awesome.
A good dude. All right, we're gonna wrap things up. One last thing. I'm gonna hit on this on the news is this. You guys have seen some teaser videos of Nissan Next, the new lineup of Nissan vehicles over the next few years. And you got a glimpse of a Z car. You sort of saw a silhouette of a new Z car, which we believe is going to be a 400Z and with a 4 liter. The platform is going to be based off of an existing, what's the Infiniti? The, you know, the 60 or the 50, whatever the you know, the 400 horsepower all-wheel drive kind of sporty version. Well, imagine a four-liter
after the Q45.
Yeah, right. imagine a rear-wheel drive, possibly automatic and manual transmission version of it.
Awesome.
Anyway, so what's going on is ZCon is their big event. It's like Mustang Week or Monterey Car Week. It's a big Z event. It's happening in Tennessee at and around the Nissan headquarters. I believe there's going to be limited tours of the Nissan Museum, which I've never been to. So anyway, that's coming up Tuesday, September 15th. If you guys are going to be at ZCon, Adam and I will be there. It's going to be a quick trip for us, but we're going to go in and probably around 11 or 12, we'll get more details, 11 a.m. or noon, we're going to do CarCast live from the ZCon event, and then and then later that night, I believe both of us or Adam, I don't know, we're going to be there for the unveiling of the new Z car. What's going to happen is there's one concept, one prototype. It's in Japan. It's at the where they were going to do the Olympics. There's like a big, I don't know if it's an amphitheater or something that they built over there that they're clearly not using. So the guys at Nissan have got it, and they are going to unveil the car there and then live stream it here, and it's going to be part of a program. So if you're at ZCon, come out to the event at night as well. And we're basically going to MC this and then throw to the live video and have them unveil the car and do the walk around. We'll be able to ask a couple of questions and get the dirt on the new Z car, and then we will come home. If you can't make it, don't worry, because the live stream will be all over the internet. And I believe Chris is coming out there to record CarCast with us. By the way, Chris, we're going to Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. Pack your bag. We're going to go to Tennessee on Tuesday, September 15th. So we'll have a nice CarCast episode from Tennessee and a Z car unveiling, and it's going to be fun. We're kind of excited to hear about it. I don't know the specs on the car. I don't know when it's coming out. Is it going to be a 22? Is it going to be a 23? we will find out all of that information. But if you're going to be out there, if you're going to ZCon, Tuesday is the day we will be there for both events, CarCast and the ZCar unveiling. So anyway, that's
check out the Alfa Romeo and Ralph Gilles Instagram. You see the little tease on the Maserati?
I did, yeah. I saw his, and then I saw his home-built Alfa that he's been doing, his vintage car, saw the Speedcore.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, but we talked about recently when Adam and I went to Monterey, we teamed up with our friends from Acme Training Company, and they made the model, the really nice 1/8 scale Porsche 935 Le Mans car. It's like $5,200. Well, they're doing smaller, like 1/18th scale models for like, I don't know, $150, $200, whatever. And they announced a model. It is the Speedcore all-wheel drive turbo charger. You can pre-order it now. And I believe it ships next year, like March or February. And what they do is they do the pre-orders. They figure out how many they need to make. They will always cap it at a limit, but they just need to know how many they're going to do. And they announced, like, I think a handful of Mopars, but they did work it out. The black, the murdered out, basically, all-wheel drive turbo car that was in the Magnafold booth at SEMA, they're going to make the model of that car.
Well, hopefully after we unveil mine next year, they'll make a model of it.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, we'll have to get you one of these as well so you can look at it and admire, admire it. All right, guys, let's wrap it up. And later this week on CarCast with Adam and myself, we will have the guys from Stratus Auctions in studio, Lance Butler from Stratus Auctions. And I am going to leave here right now. I'm going to go pick up a brand new Celine Mustang Black Series, and then next week, Bill, you and I will have Steve Celine here in the studio joining us to talk about what's going on with Celine and their new cars and all that stuff. So
awesome! I haven't heard much from them lately, so it'd be cool to get a catch up.
Yeah, been a friend of the show for years and years, almost 10 years. So we're going to catch up with Steve Celine. He's going to be here sitting with us. And I assume he's coming to get his car back as well. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Room, room.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed that show, and be sure to tune in later this week as well as we talk to the guys from Stratus Auctions. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So right now, there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Just visit geico.com to learn more. Also want to tell you about our friends at Ford. They have a new podcast. It's an 8-part series that dives into Bronco's 50-year odyssey from the post-war boom to the O.J. chase and this year's rebirth. It's called Bring Back Bronco, The Untold Story, hosted by Sonari Glinton. And he goes on a road trip of a lifetime to find out why Ford killed the Bronco and what led to it coming back. So we got a sneak peek. Tune in. We'll tell you all about it. Search for Bring Back Bronco anywhere you listen to podcasts. We'll include a link on the show notes as well. And thanks for these guys for the support. But hang tight. We're going to play it right now. Here's a little teaser.
Bronco really touched a moment in American history where people didn't know they wanted it, but once they saw it, they were like, ooh, that's what I need.
The rise, fall, and rebirth of the Ford Bronco is a metaphor for the last 50 years in America. It was born into a world of tie-dye shirts and peace signs.
You know, the emergence of the Bronco really lines up with a whole new era of America. You've got the baby boomer generation coming into their own, got the women's liberation movement, you've got the civil rights movement. All of these things are sort of happening in the 1960s.
It came of age in the 1970s.
It was revered for being unapologetically big and boisterous.
And it survived a horrific midlife crisis in the 90s.
We're seeing live pictures right now. The football hero believed to be a passenger in that Ford Bronco.
And then suddenly, it disappeared.
It was something that we never got answers to, and to this day, I still don't know whatever happened.
But the Bronco didn't die. It just went underground.
Well, the first rule of Bronco Underground is you don't talk about Bronco Underground.
Now, that's where our ragtag team of heroes did everything imaginable to bring back Bronco.
When you're trying to change the direction of the battleship, that's really freaking difficult to do.
For people like, hey, bring back the Bronco, it'll be a home run. This is not my first rodeo. It's not that simple.
Join us on this wild ride, an 8-part serial uncovering 50 years of blood, sweat, and dirt. This is Bring Back Bronco, the untold story. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. You'll be the first to know when a new episode drops.